Welcome to Syracuse Speaks, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman. This is season 6 of Syracuse Speaks. Let's get started. Okay, we're here at 6:15 at night because the Tampa Bay Lightning couldn't manage to release a roster that I'm sure they had planned out last week before now. I'm annoyed, but that's just because I prefer to have all of my ducks in a row, and I like to know when I can get this podcast done, and I held it over until today so that hopefully the dust would settle and everything would be all set. How naive I was. I guess that's not fair. We do actually know a vast majority of all of the things, especially compared to what we knew yesterday, which was less than today. So I guess it's fine. We know everything except for one pretty major development that just happened. I suppose I really can't complain, but at the same time, I would have preferred to get this podcast episode out just a little bit earlier for both y'all to be able to have something to listen to today while you were home and you know, who knows what you were up to, but maybe having a podcast episode would have been nice to listen to. And also for my own sanity, because I don't like doing things in the evenings because I am old. Side note, there were a couple of hockey players today that signed contracts, and I don't remember their names. They weren't for the Lightning, so I only paid surface attention. But what I did pay attention to was that both of these hockey players, when they end these giant contracts, I think they were like 8 years or something crazy, maybe with Vancouver. I don't really remember. But anyways, when these contracts end, these hockey players will be 38 years old. I can't even recommend walking at this age as a 38-year-old, let alone playing hockey and getting slammed into the boards and hit with pucks and sports. I don't know. Not what I would want to be doing right now at this age, but I mean, I've never been a professional athlete, so I guess there's that to consider too. Ooh, sorry, major tandem. Okay, back to what matters. So why did I have to wait until the Tampa Bay Lightning released their roster? Well, today was the day where all NHL teams had to have their rosters in and approved by the NHL by 5 o'clock. It is now 6:18, so it took a little bit longer, as per usual, with the Lightning to figure out what in the world they were doing. Fun story, after the Lightning finally did figure out everything they were doing, they are now at $3 above, $2 away from being perfectly in the cap. So this is why it took so long for us to see what was going on. So what went on? What do we know? Here's what we know. Gabriel Fortier, who was on waivers yesterday, did not get claimed. He has been sent to Syracuse. So Syracuse will get a boost with Fortier into the roster. And to be fair, that is no small boost. Fortier has been a presence in Syracuse now for a good couple of seasons. Last season, he went he was good for 29 points in 67 games for Syracuse, 11 goals, 18 assists. That was a little bit less than his previous season where he went 35 points in 72 games. And then his first kind of quote-unquote full season with Syracuse, although he only played 30 games that season, was 10 points, 6 goals, 4 assists. This is tough because I feel as though Fortier has not developed into the player that he was expected to develop into. However, any level of depth and anything to make Syracuse's lines a little bit older and a little bit stronger is welcome right now. So Fortier is back with the crunch. It'll be his fifth season playing any amount of games in a Syracuse sweater, but really his fourth season when we're looking at full seasons with the team. We also found out that the plan for defenseman Zach Bogosian was to basically paper him to Syracuse and then immediately recall him. And he will be an eighth defenseman up with the Lightning. Obviously, for those of us, and I am one of them, that are actively concerned about Syracuse's blue line, not only its age, but its experience level, this was not what we were hoping for. However, the fact that he didn't get claimed and is still in the organization is not a terrible thing. Any level of depth right now will keep Syracuse's only two veteran defensemen, and we're talking like veteran defensemen by like a mile, like nobody is even close to those two gentlemen. It will keep Sean Day and Philip Myers, who are Syracuse's only veteran defensemen, with the crunch should an injury occur up with the Lightning on the blue line. This is no small feat. One of the immediate concerns with only having two veteran defensemen in Syracuse is that should something happen with the Lightning and a defenseman get hurt, guess who gets called up? The veterans. Guess who Syracuse doesn't have a lot of? The veterans. I mean, you figure last season when the unimaginable happened and the crunch lost Darren Radish for the end of the season, they had Trevor Carrick and Philip Myers on the team, plus Sean Day, who I believe was injured for some of that. But still, like, this is the point, right? Like, it was this perfect storm of all of these defensemen getting hurt at once. Trevor Carrick spent some time on the injury list. Like, these guys were not that healthy last season. But Syracuse really didn't suffer that badly because there was a bunch of veteran defensemen hanging around. That insurance is not there this season. So having Tampa have an eighth defenseman is not a terrible thing. Is it ideal for anyone? Not really, but it's not a terrible thing. Why isn't Bogosian in Syracuse? Well, my guess is a player who I don't think has had any AHL experience in his life. And if he did, it was at the very beginning of a very long list of over 700 NHL games. He doesn't want to play in Syracuse or in the AHL. I can't blame him. Like, this is, you know, not every player can be Gabriel Dumont. Not every player can be like, yo, if this is where I'm meant to be, then this is where I'm meant to be, and I'm going to make the most of it. I can't blame them for that if they feel like where they are in their career is not being an AHL defensive veteran leader on a team that really needs them. Not going to hold any grudges there. Who knows what the Lightning may decide to do in the future. That's where we are with that. A little on the disappointing side, but not exactly something that we didn't expect. A couple surprises to come out of today. And this first surprise was surprising. I was going to Google how to say this guy's name. All right, give me 2 seconds. Okay, I still don't know the first name because the THN reporter that I got it from talked too fast. But Kochakoff, I got the last name, is a goaltender from the Carolina Hurricanes organization. Carolina does not have an AHL team this season because the AHL's Chicago Wolves decided to go rogue and made the bold choice to go without a parent club this season. They were with Carolina, and Carolina was like, there's no other AHL teams left. And as we discussed during the 2020-2021 shortened AHL season, dual affiliations in the American Hockey League don't normally work. The whole point of having a farm club is that you have a team that knows your systems, knows how you want your players to act, behave, play the game, and run plays. and you instill them into them through your farm system. This is why split farm systems don't work, because you have one team being fed two different ways of playing a game. You have two NHL organizations fighting over how much time each of their prospects are getting on this one team. Nobody was going to be like, yeah, sure, Carolina, come share our farm team's ice time full time. That wasn't going to happen. Now in 2020, 2021, obviously it was different. Everything was made up and the points didn't matter. There were no major playoffs to speak of during that season because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and everything was really weird, and Syracuse only played three different teams and there were no fans, and it was different. So the Crunch's dual affiliation with the Lightning and the Florida Panthers worked out fine. With the taxi squads that were going on in the National Hockey League, it made sense for Syracuse to be able to draw on a bigger player pool. It actually helped the Crunch a lot, in my opinion. And as a Crunch fan, I got to see a lot more talent. I wish I could have seen it in person, but that's besides the point. In guys like Chase Prisky and Grigori Desicinco, who I'm saying only because I learned how to say his name and then I never had to say it again and it bugs me. So now I'm going to say it whenever I get the chance. So you had guys like Desicinco come down to Syracuse and play really well, and it was great. But now things are back to normal. You're not going to end up with a dual affiliation in 2023. It's just not going to happen. So Carolina has had to make some difficult choices. A lot of their players are ending up with the ECHL Norfolk Admirals, which is fantastic for that organization because they're getting AHL-level talent playing for their ECHL team. So that's amazing. And a couple of their more talented players are ending up sprinkled out through other AHL organizations that just happen to have openings. Can you see where I'm going with this? Y'all. So earlier today, we found out that Carolina is loaning their goalie prospect to Syracuse. So obviously, with Andre Vavilevsky being injured and going on long-term injured reserve today, he had back surgery. It was successful, but he's not going to be back anytime soon. I think Christmas was like a conservative estimate as to when he was going to return. So Crunch fans braced themselves for running the gamut with Hugo Elnefelt, who's completely fine. I have no problems with Elnefelt except for the fact that he needs work on his rebound control, but that's like the entire organization top down with goalies. So, you know, that not going to fight that battle right now. And ECHL backup person whose name I'm not remembering now and I don't feel like looking up because it all of a sudden has been made irrelevant by the fact that this Petrikov, right? Is that what I said? Kochikov. Oh, good Lord. Kochikov has been loaned to Syracuse. Now, as of just a couple of weeks ago, the Hockey News was theorizing that this goalie might end up playing full-time with Carolina. And now instead, Syracuse gets to make use out of him. And from everybody I have talked to, from Patrick Williams to a couple of my AHL friends, this is a pretty big get for Syracuse. So last year, Kochikov played in 24 games and posted a 12-7-5 record in the NHL. So, you know, I'm a little bit speechless at this because this was not at all what I expected. You know, personally, I actually expected the Lightning to claim a goalie for them, like Alex Stalock, I saw, was on waivers, Spencer Martin was on waivers, and then send Matt Tompkins back down to Syracuse to restore the tandem that we all thought we were going to have in Syracuse this season. That's what I thought was going to happen. But instead, the Lightning went out and was like, hey, you're not using that goalie over there, and wouldn't you love to have him with a high quality AHL organization that has a lot of practice time because they're centrally located and has state-of-the-art facilities that, you know, we kind of helped paid for. And wouldn't you love to have him with them instead? And Carolina was like, absolutely. And so apparently this is a thing. This is very exciting. My guess is the two goalies will be splitting time instead of having Alnefelt take on the majority of the games like we originally figured was going to happen, which truthfully might be better in the long run for him. I'm speechless at all of this. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. I don't know how long this arrangement is going to be for. Obviously, when Vavilevskiy comes back, it doesn't really work to have a logjam of goaltenders at any level because people aren't getting playing time and it's not beneficial to anybody. So I don't know if then they'll send, you know, this new guy down to Norfolk or what Carolina will do or what Tampa will do. But this is kind of cool. And Syracuse is definitely benefiting from this. So it'll be fun to see where this goes. What won't be fun to see, and what is actually kind of sad, is that Syracuse, well, former and maybe soon to be future, Syracuse forward Alex Barry-Boulet reportedly will be placed on waivers tomorrow to be sent to Syracuse. Now, I am never someone to hope for a player to get claimed on waivers. I understand the purpose of waivers. I get that it's to give these guys a second chance at an NHL, not career, but at NHL minutes. I get that that's why they're in place. But as an AHL fan, I can count on all of my fingers and all of my toes how many times waivers have legitimately messed with my AHL team. Just off the top of my head, Brian McGrotten getting claimed during the Anaheim era was heart-wrenching for me in particular. Not to mention the Gabriel Dumont caper of, I think, what was it, 2017, 2018, when he was claimed by Ottawa and then immediately got hurt because Ottawa. And then Ottawa was, when Dumont got healthy, they were like, oh, we don't have need for you anymore. And then, of course, they tried to send him through waivers and the Lightning was like, yeah, no, he's ours again. And granted, like, thank goodness, but still, you know, it has happened a lot to the Crunch where you cross your fingers and hope that a player makes it through waivers, because if they don't, it really seriously messes with your roster. There are plans in place for these players, and when they don't make it through, it sucks, not gonna lie. So I never hope for this, but to be honest with you, in the case of Alex Barry-Boulet, I am actively hoping that he will get claimed. And here's why. The AHL is a developmental league. Yes, you need the veterans on your team to lead the way, to carve good habits out of the youngins, to show them how to keep their cool, play the game, be a professional, be an adult. You know, the veterans tend to be the guys that host holiday gatherings. The veterans tend to be the guys that talk to the coach about what they see is going on in the dressing room. You know, much like the person that shows you the ropes at work that's been there for longer than you have, your veterans in an AHL team are extremely important. And in fact, they're generally some of my favorite players, which, for those of you who have been listening to my podcast for a while, you are aware of how much an understatement that actually is. But the AHL is also, in general, for veterans who have nothing more to prove at either level. Dumont, as much as I adore him, his NHL time is done, and he knows that. We know that. Syracuse is extremely lucky to have his services for another season. As continues to be shown, the Crunch is a different team when he is on the ice versus when he is not on the ice. He really does lead the way with this team, as the captain should. Barry Boulay is not yet a Gabriel Dumont. Barry Boulay has yet to show what he can do at the NHL level because for whatever reason, he isn't given a chance. And I just feel like Barry Boulay has proven everything he can at the AHL level. He has done everything the Lightning has asked of him. He has worked on his two-way game. He has kept his scoring up while working on his two-way game. He has improved his defensive skills. He has grown in maturity. He's done everything they have possibly asked him to do, and yet he still cannot stick. I hope that there is another chance out there for him at the NHL level, because honestly, I think he deserves it. And, you know, I am sure that if I would love to see him and Dumont continue to play hockey with each other for the rest of their days, because if you remember from last season, they have chemistry off the charts, 150%. But I think he deserves more than that. He deserves a chance to show what he can do at the NHL level. We'll find out after 2 o'clock tomorrow. No, I take that back. After 2 o'clock on Wednesday, whether Barry Boulay has gotten claimed, because he will be going on waivers tomorrow. He did not go on waivers today. He will be going on there tomorrow. So we'll be keeping an eye on it. Obviously, I will tweet about it on my Twitter as soon as I see it, and as long as I'm not busy at work and I can get to my phone and check on things. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Syracuse will absolutely be made stronger if he does clear. But honestly, for his sake, I kind of hope that he doesn't. I kind of alluded to this, but this past week, the Syracuse Crunch's preseason went off pretty much without a hitch. Syracuse went 1-1. They lost against Rochester with Dumont not playing the game, and won against Utica, which is always a satisfying outcome, even in preseason. By the way, Dumont played that game, so the trend continues. Not only did Syracuse win against Utica, they won pretty dominantly, 6-3. So what did we see in each of these games? Well, I didn't see anything from Thursday night's game in Rochester because it's preseason. I'm not driving to Rochester from the Southern Tier, and I don't think it was broadcast. The Crunch actually broadcast their home game on their YouTube channel, which I think is a fantastic idea. I don't know if Rochester did the same thing, but regardless, from what I saw on Twitter, and this isn't a surprise, the team was kind of scrambly. They were kind of disjointed. Keep in mind, though, the coaching staff is entirely new, and head coach Joel Bouchard was very clear in interviews this past week that he threw a lot at those guys during training camp. He expected a lot of them. He taught them a lot of new things. And one of the things I'm actually really interested in, and I need to put a little bit of effort into figuring this out. If any of my listeners out there know anything about this or want to share their knowledge in this area, I'd love to hear. So Ben Grue was the coach of the Syracuse Crunch since 2017 to the end of last season. Joel Bouchard is now the new coach of the Syracuse Crunch. And as discussed earlier in this episode, NHL teams have farm clubs because you can teach them the ways. It's like the Mandalorian, right? Like, this is the way. This is the way the Tampa Bay Lightning wants the Syracuse Crunch to play, because then when players get called up, it's a smooth transition. They want them to know the systems. They want them to know the way of play. But yet it seems like Bouchard has a different way of coaching that way that the Lightning wants the Crunch to play than Gru did. So like, how does this work? That's kind of what I want to know. And I'll admit, like, when I watched the team Saturday night, it seemed like there was a lot more connectedness. And I don't know if this was just Ben Grew's way of coaching. I don't know if it was that he was starting to lose the guys a little bit towards the end there, but it just seemed like, especially the past two seasons, that the Crunch couldn't put things together. Plays would never really work out. Something would happen in the middle and things would break apart. And then the team would look scrambly and they'd be playing on their heels and all of those cliches. When stuff's not happening correctly, would happen. I didn't see that as much Saturday night, even though the team was still very much in transition. And there were moments, absolutely, where you're like, oh, that's not the way that was supposed to go. But I actually think the team overall was showing some really interesting sparks of chemistry. I saw a lot of great things out of the younger players. Tristan Allard is someone who really stuck out to me from that Saturday night game. Obviously, Chaffee was another player who really did some great things. MacArthur was really visible. Like, a lot of these younger guys really seemed to be hungry, and they seemed to really want their chance to impress this new set of coaches that the Crunch has, and it was really, really good to see. So, oh, Groshev, he was another one. Max Groshev was another one who I was very, very impressed with. I don't know. Like, this team is going to be young. There's going to be a lot of growing pains. it's going to be a transition season, but I'm kind of excited for it. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what this season brings in terms of all of that. You know, a lot can happen. A lot can be determined by what's going on. But, you know, it'll be good, I think. I'm gonna be a little bit more optimistic, perhaps, than I've been, because I'm a little energized by what I saw Saturday night. So we'll see. Just a really quick note as we look forward towards the next couple of weeks and what it has in store for the team. Syracuse plays Friday night, and they play Saturday night this upcoming weekend. Saturday night is obviously the team's home opener versus Bridgeport. Friday night, the team gets to scratch off one of those games against Utica really early in the season, which is always kind of nice. And that's it for the weekend. But when we look at that home opener on Saturday, it's the team's 30th anniversary. So we have some more details as to what fans can expect as far as some of the hoopla going on that evening. Obviously, the opening video that is going to be featuring key moments in franchise history is not going to be one to be missed, especially for people like me that have been watching this team for two decades. A lot of what the Crunch has been counting down on their Twitter when it comes to top moments in franchise history, we're really getting into moments that I have seen as a fan from Trevor Frischman's Game 6 overtime winner against Manitoba in 2008, all the way up to Syracuse's 7-0 rout of Wilkes-Barre-Scranton in the Eastern Conference Final in 2013, through Corey Conacher and everything he did for the team during the 2017 playoffs. Like, all of these things have been moments that I witnessed you know, the team also talked about the trade that brought Curtis Glencross and, more importantly, Zenon Konopka to Syracuse, you know, a couple of days ago. So, like, it's been really fun counting those down. And I'm sure a lot of those highlights will make it into the video. And I always look forward to the video, but I look forward to it even more during milestone seasons like this, because I have been there for a good chunk of Syracuse's history. So that is exciting. The other things going on that night is former county executive Nicholas J. Pirro and former deputy county executive Ed Cochan, two people who were very pivotal in bringing the Crunch to Syracuse in 1994 when the team started, will be there to celebrate, along with Scott Walker, who played on that inaugural 1994-1995 team. Obviously, I was kind of maybe hoping that some other previous players were going to be visiting that evening, much like what the team did for their 25th anniversary 5 years ago. But I also understand that repeating the same things over and over again, even though it feeds my own brand of nostalgia and memories, doesn't make sense. So, like, I get they had to do something a little bit different this time around. I understand. I will still hope maybe for previous player appearances as the season goes on. And if the Crunch would like a list of whom I would like to see, I will be more than happy to give it to them. But they probably only just need to listen to my podcast and they could figure it out on their own. So that's what's going on Saturday. I'm very much looking forward to it, as always, because opening night is always special. And sometimes I think post the COVID-19 shutdowns, it's generally even more special than perhaps it used to be. But, like, it's a little bit more special during these milestone years. So following this upcoming weekend, Syracuse will spend a weekend in Cleveland, being hosted by the Monsters on Friday, October 20th and Saturday, October 21st. My plan as of right now is to record the next episode of the podcast on Sunday, October 22nd. I'm going to have a friend staying that weekend, but I think she's going to be leaving Sunday morning. So I should be able to record my podcast then. And just another brief programming note. As of right now, I am scheduled to be making an appearance this Wednesday on a podcast that I have been on previously, but it is a podcast that also has been given a little bit of a new lease on life. It used to be known as the 315 Hockey Podcast. It is now the CNY Hockey Report. But it is the same wonderful people, and I really enjoyed the last time I was on, and we did team awards, and it was so fun, and we had such a good time. I can't wait to be back on again. But something special that's going to be happening that evening, and they haven't said anything publicly, so I'm not going to spoil their fun, but there's going to be a guest that's going to be interesting. And they're also going to be doing a huge preview show of the Crunch and opening weekend and all of that kind of stuff. So if you can join us Wednesday night on their YouTube channel, the CNY Hockey Report, that would be fantastic. I would love it if you would hop on and give us a listen. I'm very honored and excited to be able to be a part of this episode, and I can't wait for y'all to see it. I think that will do it for this week's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I crave interactions and feedback, so please feel free to get in touch with me over Twitter. And I'm still calling it Twitter because I refuse to call it the new name.
My personal Twitter is at Allovimo, as always, Allovimo. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.